welcome to the Creator Coco podcast. I'm your host, Ian Mumbai. This podcast helps you become a better creator by helping you learn from what other creators have already figured out. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet at Creator Coco. That's Creator and then C-O-C-O-A. In this episode, we'll be talking about how the Russian invasion affects crypto, investing in stocks conveniently, dollar cost averaging versus timing the market, and the factors that might make crypto more stable in the future. I hope you learn something that helps you become a better creator. When something like that happens that can affect other markets, so for example, Russia launching a war, people who have their money invested in stocks usually want to move their money out of stocks because they're not sure what's going to happen. And crypto also kind of behaves a bit like stocks because right now they go together. So when the stock market goes down, usually the crypto market also goes down. But let me see. The last 5 days, yep, it's gone down about 8%, which isn't bad for crypto. But that's what happens. So when Russia does its thing, it affects markets around the world. So for example, the people who depend on Russian imports and Russian exports or whatever, they're blocked from doing business, and so the prices of things can go higher. And businesses can start failing. So yeah, that's why people decide to move their money. And how stocks work, usually when we're talking about stocks, I didn't have much experience with stocks before, but I'm just learning more and more about how what it is. And when you eventually have money that you want to save, you have a few options. And your options are, you can just leave it in your bank account, like your savings account, and you get your interest rate or whatever you're getting on top. But yeah, you'll find that it's not a very profitable way of storing your money, and your money ends up losing value over time. So that's why you see people now investing in stocks, and getting started maybe a while back was more difficult. But nowadays, if you have a bit of savings and you want to put it somewhere where you think it can outperform your savings account, then you buy some stocks. And that might also include buying things like crypto. You just have a variety of investments, so in different companies. And usually all this happens through apps nowadays. You can just download an app and then move some of your savings there, and then basically pick the stocks which you want. Like if you want to invest in Alphabet, if you want to invest in Facebook, if you want to invest in Tesla, if you want to invest in all these different cryptocurrencies, it's possible for you to do as well.
So just from your phone?
Yes. So it's not a fancy, when you hear stocks, it's not some fancy thing that only accountants are doing, or I don't know, financial experts with PhDs. People are doing this from apps on their phone. So specifically, the app that I use is called FTX, and it was previously called Blockfolio. Maybe I'll talk about it at a different session. But now apps are popping up that even if you're in Kenya like me, you can buy stocks in American companies and basically invest your wealth in even things like the S&P 500, which is this collection of the most valuable companies in the United States. And yeah, you can, from anywhere in the world, you can just pretty much invest. And that's because of crypto. This wouldn't have happened without blockchain technology that has allowed people like me to just easily invest in other markets.
I saw that you were interested in learning how to sell and to hold and stuff like that. And I thought it would be cool. Actually, I came for the meetup wanting to learn how to sell like easily or hold or things like that. And also, let's see, what's the minimum amount someone can spend on crypto?
The cool thing with crypto is that it's dividable, which means you can take one Bitcoin and divide it like a billion times if you want. So there's the limit of the least amount of crypto you can transact is 0.00000. It's just very, very small. So you can use any amount if you want for crypto because it's just a number. In general, I believe that Bitcoin is going to succeed just from my own research and how much I've learned about the project and how I understand how it works. I believe that the way things are going, Bitcoin is going to become more valuable. And that is the core foundation of you having to hold a stock or holding a crypto. Holding just basically means you leave it, you keep it in that form, like you leave it in your wallet. You don't sell it so that you convert it into another type of asset. So if you have Bitcoin, you just keep the Bitcoin there, and that's called holding. So that even if the price drops and the Bitcoin becomes worth a bit less, you're still willing to continue either adding more or leaving that Bitcoin in your wallet. So when you have conviction and you've done enough research, you should only hold the assets which you have conviction in. So even if it's stocks, if you've learned about a company and you know how they work and you have faith that they will be more valuable in the future, you don't mind when the price goes down. So that's when you decide, I'm going to hold because I have conviction in this stock or this asset. But then again, sometimes you also make bad decisions, so it's also okay to sell. Sometimes maybe I'm wrong about Bitcoin. I don't think I am, but maybe there's a chance maybe that something else comes along and takes things over. It's also important to assess your conviction so that you don't end up holding onto something that its value will just go down to zero and you're not going to make enough money. So it's also important to sell, not just hold. But if you have conviction in something, it's important to, okay, it's easier to hold when the prices go crazy. I'm also new to this relatively. So far, I've just been working on conviction and getting stocks and cryptos which I'm interested in and which I know a bit about. So Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana a bit. And I haven't been actively trading much where you actually watch the prices. So for you to start buying and selling, it means you're looking at the market and deciding for yourself whether this is a time when you want to sell your thing, convert it into dollars, or buy more to add it into your account. If you're doing something called dollar cost averaging, so let me Google that, dollar cost averaging. Let me read the definition of that. So dollar cost averaging is investing a fixed amount of money into a particular investment at regular intervals, typically monthly or quarterly. So that's the strategy I'm taking in general, where you find the things which you're interested in and you keep investing on them at regular intervals, typically monthly or quarterly. So that you don't have to worry if the prices go down, if the prices go up, but you have faith in them long term, you won't be worried so much. And the research shows that if you dollar cost average your crypto, the people who dollar cost average their crypto do better than the people who try to actively manage their crypto. So when I said that I was trying to figure out when to sell and when to buy, it's just that I've been seeing a lot of volatility in the markets. Like it can go like up 20% in 1 week, down 20% in the other week. And that's crazy. So it would be interesting to see if I can sell at a certain time to save myself a bit of money. It can be interesting to see whether I can sell when the price is a bit high so that if it drops, I save myself a bit of money. But in general, I am more... I'm more interested in dollar cost averaging than in buying and selling. I think it's better to just find investments that you have conviction in and then you invest in them at regular intervals.
So do you do that for all of them, like Ethereum and all? I'm just for Bitcoin.
I would say that the main asset I have or that I... I'm invested in basically is Bitcoin specifically, but then I also have Ethereum and a few other cryptos. And apart from dollar cost averaging, and adding more at regular intervals, you can also do. Oh, sometimes I watch a YouTube video or I hear news about one of the stocks I'm invested in, or even a stock that I'm not invested in. And then, based on that news or that information, you decide, should I get more stock or should I ditch this stock based on the information I've gotten? So sometimes you're dollar cost averaging, but in other times when you get information, you also update your conviction so that you can reduce the risk that you're taking with the amount that you have and maybe give it to something else. I guess you're just trying to do it with everything, but it's also kind of like a game, which is like fun because it's like you're playing with money. It's like gambling a bit. It's becoming more and more accessible. So as I'm telling you, all things are more accessible to us as young people, as just people with smartphones. If you're willing to do the research, you can achieve a lot of these results. You can make any kind of art you want. You can make any kind of music you want. You can now invest in other financial assets. You can live anywhere you want with Airbnb. You can use Uber to go anywhere you want. Like the amount of freedom individuals have nowadays is just amazing. And I want to use a podcast like this one to create opportunities where people discover that you have that kind of power at your disposal. So yeah, try out the FTX app. It lets you do investments in other different currencies. I will probably have another podcast in the future where I will talk about basically what I'm invested in, how my portfolio looks like, the companies I'm interested in. And I'm just starting, and none of this is like it shouldn't be taken as financial advice because I have no idea what I'm doing. But yeah, it's accessible now. We can all do it thanks to crypto.
Are there some apps that are scammers? Like maybe they tell you to put the money in the app, and then I don't know. Are all of them trusted? And I don't know. Yeah.
In a new industry like crypto, probably like 90% of them will fail or are some type of a scam. And yeah, for the most part, there's tons and tons of scams. There are probably, I don't know, thousands or tens of thousands, or I don't know, even more than that, different types of cryptocurrencies. So my point is, Bitcoin and Ethereum probably take up about 80%. Or 70%, or a large majority of all the cryptos. So when I'm looking at crypto, I'm pretty much looking at Bitcoin and Ethereum alone for the most part, and then others which you're interested in, like I don't know, Solana or Ripple or even Cardano. There's others which are also popular, but in terms of the majority, like 60% or 70%, it's always Bitcoin and Ethereum, and the rest is just you ha really have to know what you're doing if you want to get into those, because they have all these different nuances, each of them, and they're different for different reasons. One is faster, the other one is safer, the other one is anonymous, and they have these different features. So Bitcoin and Ethereum take up pretty much most of the market cap, and the rest are you have to know what you're doing. And then the reason why scams also happen now is because most people don't know what they're doing, and these things are based on marketing. So they tell you crypto, you think when you put in your money, you're gonna get a lot of money out. That's not going to work because you can't get free money anywhere. And usually the people who make money from those kinds of schemes where it's like we have a new coin and you should buy it are people who are scamming. So yes, there's lots and lots of scams. My recommendation is always if you're trying to get started, just start with Bitcoin and Ethereum. Those are the ones which have the best brand names, and those are the two most likely right now to, succeed as cryptocurrencies. They both have their different faults, and it's possible for something else to come out of the blue and take the thunder. And at that time, maybe my advice would change, but for now, starting with Bitcoin and Ethereum is always a good idea. so that you don't get scammed. So a market cap is the market value of a publicly traded company's outstanding shares. Market capitalization is equal to the share price multiplied by the number of shares outstanding. So basically what it's saying is if you have a company or some kind of asset, and then let's say you divide it into 100 shares. So you take those 100 shares and you say each of them is worth 100 bob when you want to sell each share to another, to an investor. So you take your 100 shares, you sell it to an investor at 100 shillings, but then the investors decide among themselves that 100 shillings is not a high enough price. So they raise the price of each share because they want to pay more than 100 shillings. So someone else is willing to come in and buy that share at 200 shillings, for example. So when we started, it was 100 shares. Each of them was worth 100 shillings. So that's a market cap of, yeah, it's 10,000. So the market cap of that company is 10,000. But when the investors decide the price is more, the market cap increased to 20,000. So you can see what market cap is. So when they say market cap of Bitcoin, they mean that it's the number of Bitcoins that are available. You multiply that by the price of each Bitcoin. So how much are people buying and selling one Bitcoin for at that time? And that's the market cap. So when people want it more, the market cap increases. When people want it less, the market cap decreases. So when I was saying market cap, I meant that people kind of have the highest value for Bitcoin now because it has the highest market cap, followed by Ethereum. In around April last year, I think, it reached a trillion, but now it's gone down. So the price went down. There's a time it was really high.
What can make it stable? You say like one time it's high, I think 20%, the other one. What can make it stable in the long run and encourage more people? I don't know. What can make it stable?
So as of 2021, 106 million people around the world use cryptocurrencies. I'm sure that number has gone up, probably in the last year. So, but it shows 106 million own cryptocurrencies. But on the other hand, the people who use the dollar are probably in the billions. I feel like when more people own Bitcoin, if say a billion people own Bitcoin, then more of the market influences might be able to cancel each other out. So if India and America and Africa and China, okay, forget about China. If all of them accept Bitcoin as a cryptocurrency, then if something happens in America, the whole economy of crypto doesn't go down from one person's tweet. Like Elon Musk can tweet out today, and because we only have 106 million who have crypto, and most of them are Americans, it's usually affected by the market of one country substantially more than others. So right now, crypto is sensitive because not many people own it. But the more people own it, the more it will be able to absorb all these different variables and conditions that come from different situations. Maybe someone says crypto is bad, then everyone sees, and then the price goes down. But that being said, that's why I'm excited, because it means that there's still more room for growth. And in the future, imagine now if it's 106 million people, imagine a future where it's 1 billion people who own crypto, and how much more valuable the crypto we have now will be at that time. And I don't see that time being so far from here, probably in the next 10 or 20 years. But we are all going to be using crypto to buy stuff. That's something I'm very, very convinced about already. And so I just want to keep buying even more.